Well, hey, friends. Hey, Z. My favorite student. No, just kidding. Hey, it's good to be here with you all today. I have a word of warning to future pastors in the pulpit. Never give the title of your sermon weeks in advance before the sermon. You can see the title is up there today, and I emailed that in the form a few weeks ago. And then, as life has it, things have happened this week. Things have happened in a lot of places this week. And so we're going to spend some time together in Deuteronomy 6, which was the liturgical passage for today. I didn't pick that. It's what the Lord gave us. So we're going to spend some time in the passage today, and then like Jessica said, we're going to spend some time in corporate communal prayer together. Before we spend time in prayer, if you are watching online, please feel free to participate in the communal prayer time by entering conversation into the chat. But if you're on campus and not in chapel, I just invite you to close your computers and to walk over here. Don't worry, you're not going to miss any words of wisdom. That's not going to happen in the time in the scripture, let's be honest. But you are going to miss the opportunity to pray with our brothers and sisters here in chapel. So I just encourage you to join us for that time in prayer. I'll be the only people who can see you walking in the back of the chapel. But if you're on campus, please feel free to join us. Friends, we're going to spend some time in Deuteronomy 6 this morning as we enter into that time of scripture. Let's just pause in prayer. Lord, we thank you for being a God who is right here, right now. For being a God who is revealed through our experience with you, but being a God who is revealed in the words that we get to sit in today. So just be with us and let us hear from you. In your name we pray, amen. The chapter of Deuteronomy 6, in theory, could be its own whole time, month, week of sermons. There's so many theological, historical, personal nuances and important things that to highlight it all today would be impossible. And to highlight it all in the next 8 minutes, it's probably ludicrous to do, but we're going to do some of it. And I say that to prompt us because we aren't going to be able to cover everything that's important. I'm not smart enough to tell you all the nuances of the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 6, but the word from the Lord today draws us into a posture of hearing and draws us into a posture of responding as we hear. And so we are inevitably going to miss some of the things that you very smart people know are present in Deuteronomy 6. But in the next now 7 minutes of scripture time, let's sit with the simple reality, or the simple calling that Deuteronomy welcomes us into. The passage that Hannah read, I was laughing to myself as she was reading. As she was reading. The first time I did communion, I chose a passage that had about 37 fun biblical names of groups in it. Hannah had to read it. And then we had a chapter today that was 15 verses long. Hannah had to read, so thank you. But the verses that Hannah read in Deuteronomy 6 are incomplete unless we kind of shuffle a few verses ahead. Those few verses are what Gabby sang so beautifully for us today, and it's the verses that we're going to start off with. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4, prompts us to listen and to hear. The scripture says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." We can't get to verses 10 through 25, the caution of disobedience, without first knowing what we're trying to be obedient to, and we're trying to be obedient to listening. The Deuteronomy text employs people to listen. In his duties to the clergy, Ambrose comments on this verse saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God." It doesn't say speak, but hear. Hear, perceive, listen, understand, and posture our lives in a posture of listening. That's what this verse and this chapter requires. And so naturally, it brings us up to the question of, well, what do we listen to? Probably not the screaming voice of Toby, but maybe. What do we listen to? Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Hear who God is. Stephen Green talks about how sometimes that little short verse of answering the what is complicated, he talks about the ambiguity in the syntax. Yeah. And the reality of the question of what do we listen to or who do we listen to is complicated because that first verse offers up a multitude of different translations or possible translations as we think about it in its English form. Green talks about how that verse, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, could be translated as Yahweh our God is one, which gives prominence to the unity of deity. Or, he says, we can translate it as Yahweh only is our God, which gives importance to the exclusivity of God's claim on Israel's loyalty. Green talks about how the chief difference is whether to translate those words as an adjective or an adverb, and he very helpfully says that both make sense. Other translations in my Bible give us a slew of options. Just in my little Bible, that verse is translated to, "The Lord our God is one Lord," or, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one," or, "The Lord is our God, the Lord is one." We have options. But no matter how we translate or how we think we can understand the original Hebrew, what it seems to be pointing to is that the what that we are listening to is this what that coincides with hearing and understanding the knowledge of the identity or the characteristics of God, and understanding how the people's identity or our identity rests in or is some way connected to or is somehow lost in the complexity of who God is. So listen, and listen to know God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Hear, O people, and hear who God is. And as the people in this text are hearing God, as they sit in the lived reality of this verse, they are prompted to respond. The text continues and it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gate." Hear, ingest, and then respond. And our response is out of loving the Lord our God with our all heart and with our soul and with our mind, keeping his words, reciting the words, talking about them here and there, binding them, writing them. We will sit and hear God, and then we will respond with our whole self. And then, after all of that, we enter into the actual verses for today. This command to hear and respond is followed by what happens or warnings of what can happen when ears fall deaf or when the response isn't there. Deuteronomy 6, 10 through 25 has a lot of different voices that show us these warnings. I'm going to talk about two of them that I found most prominent. Two realities that we can enter into when we don't hear the voice, or when we are deaf to the voice. The first warning or hindrance that comes from hearing is found in the first couple of verses in 10 through 25. It's this reality of the multitude of voices that can fill the life of us and fill the life of the people. Over the years, I've spent a lot of time at music festivals. And when you are at a large music festival, there's times in which two stages can be playing music at the same time. And if you happen to be in the middle of those two stages, you are washed in a cacophony of sound that is overwhelming and a little confusing. These two battling stages intermingle and intermix sound and energy in a way that leaves you feeling a little concussed. And if you spend too long in this wasteland of sound, you are left confused, and you certainly are left without hearing the right words from each band. What Deuteronomy warns us in the beginning of this section is to not be lost in the middle of a music festival field. To not be lost in the multitude of voices or things that fill our lives. This is addressed in Deuteronomy 6 by the number of blessings that the Lord has given the people of Israel, right? It tells us that your land will be filled with fine, large cities you did not build. Your houses will be filled with all sorts of good. You will have vineyards and olive groves. You will have a full belly and a full home. And yet, take care that you do not forget the Lord. Take care that the multitude of blessings, the multitude of voices don't block you from hearing who God is and who you are. Some of us are probably sitting in the reality of a lot of voices. You're week 6, almost halfway there. You have papers and exams and families and things clawing out your mind. And we can get lost in the music festival of our lives. We can get lost in the multitude of sounds. And so hearing becomes limited when we're overwhelmed by the number of blessings, the number of things. Deuteronomy gives us a second warning. Hearing is limited when the voices become too many, and hearing can be impaired when our focus becomes blurry. The original title, The Voice, came from this embarrassing fact of my life, which is that I watched The Voice. You can judge me later. If you don't know what that is, The Voice is a TV show, popular TV show that's in America, but also across other areas and other countries, in which music professionals sit there with their backs turned to a stage, and music hopefuls get up on the stage and they sing. And if their voice is good enough, the music professional will hit a button and turn their chair and potentially vie for an opportunity to work with this unknown person. They're searching for the voice, the one voice to rule them all. That's a Lord of the Rings reference if you don't get it. That's okay. A few episodes ago at the beginning of this season of The Voice, Niall Horan, who is a member of One Direction and a solo artist, if you don't know him, please look him up right now. Niall Horan is sitting in the midst of listening to someone who is arguably talented, and the other three potential music professionals, the other three potential coaches, hit their button and turn around, and Niall doesn't. And so the person sings, and their song ends, and then Niall's chair in shame turns around as the other coaches are turned, and the other coaches start making fun of him for missing this opportunity to work with this guy, this voice. And Niall says something along the lines of, this is a paraphrase, not an exact quote, that he was focusing or waiting for a certain type of sound, a certain voice. And so he recognized that the person was talented, but because it didn't match with the sound he was focused on, because it didn't match the sound that he wanted on his team, he kept his chair turned away. It's not a very creative analogy, but I think we get it. Deuteronomy warns us of something similar. You can be so focused on a singular voice, or you can be so focused on joining the voice that the culture around us or the people around us are listening to that we can miss out on the voice that we should be prioritizing. Deuteronomy tells us, do not follow other gods, any of the gods of the people who are all around you. Do not be swayed by prioritizing a voice that isn't of God. Don't be Nile. Or do be Nile. It can work in either way. We have these warnings of sound in Deuteronomy. Warnings of sound of trying to find our way as we listen to too many things. And warnings of sound as we listen or prioritize a voice that maybe isn't from God or isn't of God. And in a seminary context as students, or in a seminary context as people who work here, or in a seminary context as people who just happen to wander in on this random day, it's easy for all of us in our lives to find ourselves in one of the worlds of the warnings. And so today, my hope is that we pause, like Jessica encouraged us at the beginning, and we reflect on this calling in Deuteronomy 6 to hear, and to hear God, and to listen to the voice. Today, we're also invited to do something a little bit different, to not just listen to the voice, but to, as a community, be a voice, not the voice, a voice, for people that we know are hurting, for people that we know are in a season that we have a hard time imagining, or I have a hard time imagining. And so as we are prompted from Deuteronomy to listen to the voice, we as a community are going to spend some time being a voice for people outside of this chapel. I'm going to pray us into our time of prayer and then invite one of our chaplains, Taylor, to come up and lead us in a time of corporate communal prayer. So friends, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this passage, for this chapter that has marked your people for so long. Lord, we know it is so easy to be distracted amongst all the blessings you have given us, amongst all the realities that we live into. It's easy to prioritize another voice when we have so much going on. And so, Lord, we ask that today would be a reminder to hear you, to hear who you are, and to hear how we are formed within your voice. So speak to us. Lord, and as we act as a community with our voices, we ask that our prayers would fill this space, that you would be in the midst of the voices that we use. So Lord, we sit with you. Resonate amongst us. In your name we pray, amen.